You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 for a moment. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy personal involvement, God, in the midst of all the snowflakes. We are reminded of them and the sand of the sea, and God, we're reminded thus of you and your thoughts to us. All that you have in your mind and heart that outnumbers all the snowflakes and all the grains of the sand of the sea. God, thou art very great. Spirit of God, honor our Lord Jesus Christ. Honor thy word. Father, please thyself. And God, we're going to be pleased when you are. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our little study at the moment, till we get back to John here pretty quick, reminding you, if I can, that we shared together that we are in the moving forward in the calendar, and by the way of the clock, it is unavoidable. You must go forward. You cannot stop. You cannot hold the time. You cannot go back in time. You must go forward. Like it or not, ready or not, it must happen. Now, having said that, and we share together, among other things, that it is an awesome thing for a person to be born. In order to be born physically, God has to do it. God has to make us the person that we are. So that's an awesome thing to start with, and that is often missing. More than often, it's just plain missing. It would change everything if we understood that. But we don't, as a nation, as a globe, as a world. So God, here we are in God's time, and you have made it, in the light of our creation, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea, to be the Savior of the world, to be our Savior. And you did that knowing that you created us. You did that knowing that you, God the Son, God the Father, you would do this for us, knowing we're going to fail and fall and sin, you're going to die for us. So we're created in the light of all of that, in spite of all of that, if you would. So now, we're looking to you, God, and we are reminded by Peter and the persecution that was existent in his day. 1 Peter chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but, on the contrary, with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without price. God, you did something awesomely for us. And that is, you went and you chose, making us humans in your image and likeness, making it possible by way of your wonderful promise and holiness, to have the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world, be born in Bethlehem of Judea by the Virgin Mary. And that was the most precious thing, God. You went and you did that all by yourself. It cost you to bear our sin in your own body, as it were, on the tree. All of our sin. God, we can't imagine the cost. We can't imagine it. Can't even come close. But God, you did it. You paid the supreme penalty of death. Wow. So now, God, it's precious. So that all of us then have to have some awesome value, since you died for the sin of the world. And that's us. Wow. So God, you did that for each human being, no matter where they are in the world. And that makes each human being rather special and awesome. That's why we ought to rightly honor human life in the right way. Now, having said that, and reminding ourselves of that, that the precious blood of Christ, and that the precious blood of Christ is from a precious person, chapter 2 and verse 4, the end, chosen of God and precious, verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, put to shame. God, the one, the precious blood of Christ, is by way of the precious person of who he is. He is who he is, the Son of God, the perfect man, the man Christ Jesus. He is precious. And when we understand he shed his precious blood, costly, the cost, the precious person of you, God, to shed your precious blood, God, in order that we could get saved. Therefore, verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. So God, all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus Christ, the world was indifferent to, John 1:10. The Jew rejected, John 1:11. And the world, the whosoever would receive him, become children of God. God, here we are looking, and he is precious, and we are precious, more wonderfully precious. We are precious in his preciousness. Now, in order to lock that in simply, go over with me to Romans chapter 8. He is precious, and when you understand he is precious, then you come to grips with when you receive him as your Savior and he makes you a child of God, then something happens that never existed. God made you for himself, created you. That's why you're alive and well on planet Earth. And God, you, the believing heart, becomes precious in his preciousness. We count the precious. If I met using a silly illustration, maybe, just think if you were an oyster again, a little oyster. Imagine yourself an oyster, and there you're all closed up, and you're in the middle of the bottom of the ocean there, and here's all the other oysters, and the other oysters talk and share and have lunch together and everything. But you're different, because in you, that little grain of sand that went in to your, fell into your body and would harm you, but what you did is you covered it and you made a glorious, great big pearl. And in your little life, here you are, the oyster, and all the world, all the other oysters look, but you have an advantage. You are the most valuable oyster. All of those oysters, all they needed to do is take some sand in, but they reject the sand. They don't want to have a piece of sand. They don't want to have a foreign element. So here you are, a little old oyster, and you are special. And you aren't just because you're just an ordinary oyster. You're an ordinary human being. But within you, it houses a wonderful pearl. In you houses the wonderful God who made you. You become super special. You become precious. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons, adopted sons, this word is, full blossomed, coming into the family of God with all the benefits immediately up front. No growing up necessary in this word. You're there. You got it all. Wow. 4, verse 15. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption to be placed as a son. The word to be placed and then a son, to be placed as a son, adoption. And that's the same word, son. Son. Full blossom. You're adopted. Adopted. All the benefits of the family. Whereby we then, if we've been adopted and we're sons, then we ought to be able to say, Father, Abba, Father. Wow. Abba, Father. Wow. Well, that's something happened. The relationship, I never could say that before about God, but I better say it now because God saved me. And in Christ Jesus, when I received him as my Savior, I became a child of God. I became a son of God. And voila, to be a child, I have to have a father. You're the father. Abba, Father. You betcha. Now. And thus, verse 60. The Spirit himself, itself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children. There's another different word. Children, born again ones. Children of God. And if children, there's the same word, then heirs, joint heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, in order to be Abba Father, an heir, a joint heir, everything that he has, you has. Everything that he, in his perfect humanity, made possible. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. And as his body, as you are so identified as an heir, a joint heir, with whom? Each other and with him. Wow. So, all of a sudden, we begin to get a handle on what? We're precious. Precious, precious, precious indeed. Now, over if you would to Philippians again, quickly. Philippians in chapter 3, where we were last week. Now, what else are you going to tell me, about you, person? And you look at yourself in the mirror, and you're a certain age, you're so old, you're a certain everything, identified yourself, face, legs, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and that's you, that's you. And that's you, and as you age and change, then we're going, and then pretty soon all we have left is a picture of you, because you go to the dust of the ground. So God, as we're going, looking to you, all of a sudden, we don't see anything spectacular. We don't see a pearl. We don't see specialness. We don't see that. We just see us as humans among all 7 billion plus of us. Wow. That's all. But you don't see that. God, you don't see us that way. When we were willing to cooperate and be in agreement with your plan for putting us on earth in the first place, we begin to reap the benefits. And thus, your precious person, the precious cost of your son on Calvary's cross, your precious person and that cost When we receive that person and work for our life, dying for our sin, God, then we become precious. We are a vehicle, a vessel, fit for thy wonderful purpose, plan, design. Wow. So all of a sudden, whether we work, home, school, weak, strong, much, little, many, few, easy, hard, I have to see myself, God. All of that's true about you and me. But then there's you, God. And we're precious. And that's what makes us valuable. It isn't our hands, it isn't our eyes, it isn't our brain, it isn't our job, it isn't our personality. It's you. You make us very valuable. So much so that we're so identified that you're going to make everything come together and you're going to present us in a most wonderful way to all of the world. One day, when you come again, you're going to present us to all the world as your own. Not like Israel. No. As your own. Wow. Now, here's Philippians chapter 3, quickly. Keeping in mind that we shared together in Philippians 3, picking up, if I may, in the verse 8. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The wonderful, wonderful excellency of your wonderful person. God, we are to understand that. You are excellent. The word excellent means above. Above plus to heaven to hold above, supreme, super supreme, surpassing all wealth, on account of, because of your super all-surpassing worth. All of the worth, Christ, of you in God and God in you. We have an awesome relationship to you. So we have the great confidence. Chapter 3, verse 3, having no, end of the verse, having no confidence in the flesh. No, no, we aren't counting on anything about us. We have to learn that. Because the wonderment isn't the oyster. It isn't the grain of sand. It's what happens when the grain of sand gets in the oyster. And the oyster forms. When you receive Christ Jesus as your Savior, changing the illustration a bit. When you receive Christ Jesus as your Savior, Paul is going to cry out to the Galatians. He's going to cry out, the Bible is going to cry out to us. I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. That wonderful event. God, what are you going to do? You're going to develop a wonderful, wonderful relationship, a unique union with you. Wow. Now, so, having said that a little bit, so we aren't looking to the flesh. So when you're looking to your job, your work, your home, your health, your school, your relationships, your family, your friends, your enemies, you aren't counting on that. Brains, blood, brawn. You aren't counting on that. You have it, but you don't count on it. You use it, but you don't count on it. Nope, nope, nope. That isn't what's about. No, that's all going to disappear. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so we're not seeking to gain. Verse chapter 3 of Philippians 5, 6, and 7. We aren't seeking to gain anything for our own pleasure and own profit. Paul, you had everything as we read last time. You have all of the benefits of wealth, of prestigious identification with Rome, with the Hebrews, with the Pharisees. Where don't, and you're rich of all the things you have. Boy, you got everything. I do. And I count it all, remember, in the end of verse 8, I count it all as dung and waste. Because you see, none of that is going to stay. What made me precious was my relationship to Jesus Christ, my Lord. And that's what did it. And so when I go to work now, when I go to school, when I get out of bed, when I do the housework, when I do everything, I do what I do, it is unto you. But I understand God. The reason I'm so precious to you, and your because of your preciousness to me, and God, therefore, I don't sit around and say, well, no one loves me. Who cares about me? I'm nobody. I'm just me. And I try to be me in competition, in comparison with others, so that I feel like I have something. I'm someone in the grocery store. I'm not just nobody. I'm somebody. And I have all of that in my little mind and heart. And I have to understand, I don't need to bother. I don't even need to follow that thinking. God, you've set me free from myself. It isn't about me, it's about you. And therefore, God, so Israel, remember Israel of old, crossed the Jordan River after, and they, when they left the wilderness, they could never go back to the wilderness. They had a wilderness of their own making, but they never could go back to Egypt. They never could go back to the wilderness. And they took the 12 stones out of the Jordan. They put 12 stones in the Jordan where the priest's feet stood on firm ground. And they did that to remind them what? That all Israel was to understand its unique privileged relationship to God. All believers in the church age should understand their unique privileged position and relationship to God. That is far from true. It ought to be, but it isn't. It isn't even understood. So now in the light of that, so here we need to align ourselves to pursue the excellency of the knowledge of you, our Lord. We want to pursue that. You, your wonderful person, you made us joint heirs. You were able to say, Father. You are able to say, my Father. And we're able to say, our Father. You are different, Lord. You are God. But you've made it possible for us to say, our Father who art in heaven. So we're able to re-identify with you in such a unique way. And God, therefore, chapter 3, Philippians, verse 9, therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ, you provide a wonderful righteousness for us. We shared together a little bit. A wonderful righteousness that we don't have, which we is absolutely required. And God, in chapter 3, verse 10, you provided a wonderful relationship to know the power of his resurrection, a wonderful relationship in our Lord Jesus Christ. You provided a wonderful power you gave us, resources. So you provided for us, verse 9, righteousness. Verse 10, you have made it so we have a unique know you in a unique personal way, relationship. We have the wonderful power of your resurrection. God, the life, resurrected life, you know it, when you go, and you go in Romans, and in chapter, you may want to hold your finger here just a minute, and go over there to Romans, and chapter 6. And in Romans chapter 6, you recall, verse 4, wherefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, now the point, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, then it has to be, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Sliding down to verse 11. Likewise also you yourselves ye also yourselves to be dead unto, reckon, calculate, compute, yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have a wonderful life, a wonderful relationship, a life, a wonderful power. Think of Hebrews 7. To have, our Lord has the power, dynamite, dynamic, of an endless life. Endless life. This life ends earthly. Endless life. Think of Sunday school, we're talking about security and all that. Wow. Eternal life. Wow. So God, here we are looking over to and over Philippians chapter 3. So you've given us the possession and the provision and a relationship, and you've given us the power of your person, the resources that are necessary, and you've gone and made us fellowship of his suffering, made conformable unto his death. That isn't crucifixion. That only you could do that. But we are still here representing you, and we are still in a dark world, hates light. We're in a world that rejects you, and as it persecuted you, it persecutes us. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, and we have such a position in you that is a marvelous one. Now, over in the light of that, to the Gospel of John and chapter 14. John and chapter 14. Now remember, we are to walk by faith, not by sight. And God, you told us, we have a wonderful, wonderful to represent you. The excellency, we're always exercising your wonderful person, which excels, exceeds, superabundantly, goes beyond all we could ask or think. So as we exercise your wonderful person, then that flavors work, home, school, coming, going. It flavors everything. It does. We're aliens, strangers, pilgrims. But I want to enjoy that in the right way. I want to recognize to be a testimony. So God said, you need to know that in order to exercise the excellency of our Lord Jesus Christ, John 17:18, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Now, if we want to exercise the excellency in a dark world, are you going to help us understand that that's what we're doing? So we don't want to get lost because we don't understand, and by faith, we look to you, but by sight, we look out the window. So John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I told you, don't be troubled. Don't be doing that. In the world, you're going to have trouble. And the world's going to try to tell you that you can fit in with the world system much better if you would think like they do, feel like they do, be like the other oysters. Why do you have to be special? Why do you have to enjoy in your heart that you have a wonderful relationship to God? And all the other oysters don't have that. Now, so John, you're telling us what to do and think. John chapter 15, picking up my can, verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. So be of good cheer. You're going to have to go through that. I want you. Don't lose the excellency. Don't lose the wonderment of being special. You're special to God. Not to the world. The world doesn't see you as special. The world sees you as ordinary. Wow. Verse 19. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So far, you're trying to tell us there's nothing that if we're going to be here, we're going to represent you, you're going to carry out the suffering, you're going to continue the same, you're going to feel the same rejection, you're going to suffer the same things because you represent me. Don't you understand you're precious? And go, don't mind it at all. If I can, John chapter 15, verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know him not that sent me. They don't know the Father. Verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. They hate God all the way from start to finish. Verse 24, if I had not done among you them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated me, hated both me and my Father. Verse 25. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. God already said it in Scripture what they're going to do. They hated the prophets, and they hate the prophet of all prophets, our Lord Jesus Christ. Over to chapter 16. Chapter 16 and verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. I don't want you to stumble. Why are you telling us all this? You aren't telling us it's a picnic. People would like to get saved and go to a big, glorious something. But when they get saved, they aren't going to enjoy that. No, they're going to enjoy being wonderfully, exclusively yours, and to enjoy your wonderful superiority, the marvelousness of who you are, and the world's going to hate them. Now, so I don't want to, I like the world. I like my friends. I like school. I like all the things that are coming up. I get a little frustrated because the church and God don't, they aren't in agreement. No, they aren't. You're special. And you have to be special. You aren't trying to be like anybody else. You don't want to be like anybody else. Wow, we'll catch that tonight if we don't get a blizzard or something. No. Thus, chapter 16, picking up if I can in verse 3. These things, I'll read verse 2 to get a little context quickly, and they shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. So if you think the world is going to be happy that you're a little wonderful, valued, precious person in his preciousness, and you're going to say, I'm saved, and I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, they aren't going to be happy with that. If you just say you're church, that's all right. I'm a churchgoer. And you can say even the church, and that doesn't bother them. But the minute you get personal, God, the living and only God, is my personal Savior. Now, and I know him as my personal Savior. We have a unique, real relationship to God that's legit. We have an in with God. How far in? I'm possessed, purchased, pardoned, purchased, possessed. God owns me. God bought me with a price. Bought you with a price. Boy, you're precious. That's right. You bet your boots. Now, so having said that, verse 3, these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. So they aren't going to be happy about anything. No, verse 33. These things, 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Trouble, that's what's going to be, all kinds of pressure. But be of good cheer, courage. I have overcome the world. So I'm trying to tell you what it's like. That's why a lot of people don't get saved, because they know their life has to be changed. They know what's going to change. If I get saved, I'm going to change. That's right. You're absolutely right. But I don't want to. Then you don't have to. And you will spend the rest of your life in the lake of fire. And you wish you would have changed. Because you're going to live with the fact that you didn't change. And you're going to live with all that negative in real, no more make-believe, no more hiding away. 24, no more days. Timeless, timeless, time. No more time. There's no time. It never stops. I don't know. I'd want to get saved myself. I've got to tell you. I'm not interested in Mormonism, Joseph Smith, and Mary Baker Eddy, and all of that. But boy, when it comes to you, God, and you start talking to me like that, and it's what it says, and no one else is going to ever say that. Allah, we don't have to have a... What do we have to do with Allah? Nothing. Allah's there, and we're here, and hopefully fate, destiny, whatever Allah has in mind, we'll do. We do it. And that's it. What Allah, what about your love? What about comfort? What about anything? Zero. Buddha, Hindu, whatever you want to do. There's nothing. You had nothing to give me. God, only you do. Well, that's sobering. Sobering, God. Most sobering, to say the least. Over, if you would please, to Second Colossians. If you find Second Colossians, I'd go to First. First Colossians. Now, in the light of it, God, to say it simply, Paul, could you just say all of this a little simple for us? In verse Colossians 2:6, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, think of order, alignment, everything in order, and steadfastness of your faith, your personal relationship to Jesus Christ, as you have therefore received, John 1:12, as you received the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, and you became a child of God, not of your doing, but of God's. Receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Go thy knock at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll come in. If I do the opening, I will, and he will come in. Rooted, verse 7, and built up in him, and established in the faith, the body of truth that is to be believed, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So God, we're going to look to you, and we're going to go forward as Israel with a foot of faith, and we're going to pursue what? The excellency of your wonderful person. Your wonderful person, God, we're going to pursue that. We want you to be, you said you're our Father, you're our Savior and Lord. So God, we want to pursue that. We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. And we're going to look to you, God, to outwork all of your goodwill. Now, over in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians in chapter 5. If I may. Picking up. Ephesians 5 and verse 16. Redeeming the time, they're going to tell me that, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So you never told us they were nice days. You told us they were troublesome days. You told us not to have our heart be troubled because of the troublesome days. And you told our heart not to worry or wander or want because your provision is, and we need to look to you for your provision, your power, your resources. God, there's nothing going to be lacking. No, nothing at all. Nothing's going to be lacking whatsoever. And therefore, God, we're going to redeem the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, verse 17, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, God, we'll understand what you're after. You're after us to be appreciative of you and not trying to solve the world's problems. And as we look to you, you become magnificent. And overcome, you help us overcome in our thinking all that we do, we think about ourselves, we think about our world, we have our feelings and our fears and our faults. We have them by the ton. One day depends on the hour of the day, how we're thinking about things, how we're reacting to news and different things in our life. And we have them going and going and going, and we have them there. Wow. And God, you told us not to get caught up in that. It doesn't mean we aren't going to be realistic. We are realistic. We're more realistic than the world's going to be, because we're really going to see it for what it is. It's really real. And God, you're going to be able to do that because of God, you, our Lord Jesus Christ. If we know you, the more we know you, the more we're going to know all about God. And you're the only way to know God. You're the only way to know God. You're the only way for me to understand myself. Now, psychiatry and psychology and all of the books like that, I have a whole pile of them. I mean, I got them lined up, you know. Wow. And you could read them, and you can do all those things. And they're wonderful, you know, to read. But God, when you know all of, when I know about you and learn about you, I'm going to learn all about myself. For real. I'm not going to get that in psychiatry. I'm not going to get that in psychology. I want to be able to have you. You are a wonderful, Isaiah 9:6, we are a what? A wonderful counselor. God, if you want to understand people, let God help you understand yourself. And you'll know all, you'll be able to answer what a psychiatrist took 20 years to study. You are going to have the reality of the realness of life. And you're going to be able to answer the questions. Because you aren't answering them in a theological, philosophical way. You're going to answer them by way of the wonderful person of Jesus Christ, who alone gives light, who alone gives life. He is the Alpha and the Omega. There's nothing to be understood in all of language that he isn't the center of. If I was a scientist to research, which we didn't do that this up, but I could have, I'd like to, but I would like to trust, I like doing what I did anyway, a little bit, and in the process, I'd want to trust God to enlighten my mind about the engineering, my job, design. I want my mind to blossom in whatever I'm involved in. Don't you? To blossom in whatever you do, whatever you think. That's what God wants. So I want that to happen so that I enter into the wonderment of the realities. The world doesn't want to see them for real. I want to see them. And God, if God, you are the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only way to know myself, is the only way to know about anybody else. He is the only way to understand time and eternity. I'm not going to try to understand it without you, God. I'm not going to come up with the answer. But the minute I put you, your person, personally, in my presence, which I am, we are now, all of a sudden, God, things are different. Light is shed on every subject, on every problem, on every need, of every crisis, of every snowflake. God, there you are. Wonderfully there. The excellency, the marvelousness of yourself. Ephesians, if you would. Over, if you would. In chapter 6. So what are we going to do? Verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, We're going to protect ourselves because we're going to represent God's excellency. I'm not going to get robbed and ruined by letting the world take it away from me. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to what? To this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't want to let the world take away from me that which God does. And the world will take it away from me. If I try to get out here and look, then the psychology book says this, something says that, then I'm going to lose. Because the reality of earth and sin and darkness is that you couldn't possibly be saved. God couldn't possibly love a soul like you. How could God possibly save you? For real. In the light of who you are. That's the world's, what they're trying to say to me and to all of us. Wow. So God, we want to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand in the day of evil. God, you're going to have to help us in every way. Now, in the light of that, God, here we are. You said, I'll put it together in a way, in the light of what, where we're going. The Apostle Paul, Peter, you're running the race going forward. Now, remember we just did it in Sunday school, Thomas? You are the way. How are we going to know the way to you? Father, we say your name, and we're headed in your direction. You are the way. Not only are you the way to go, you are the, 1 Corinthians 3, you are the foundation which no other person can lay that we're walking on. We're walking on your wonderful finished work on Calvary's cross, and we're walking on that way. And, like the David, Psalm 23:3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, what? For his great name's sake. So God, I'm on the way. I'm resting on you, and it's your wonderful pleasure to get me down the corridor of time. And in the process, as I rest down upon this foundation, God, as I rest down, now, and we said it many times over the years, you are right now resting in the pew, more or less, and the pew is resting on 3 inches of cement and then steel, okay, underneath there. So you're resting on that. Now, don't worry. Now, you're resting down. And for all of the times you've sat there, I bet not once did you ever worry the floor was going to give in. I bet you just come in. You and I rest not on the floor and not on the ground. You rest in the eternal person of God in Christ. You rest on him. Just like you rest on this floor. And it is secure. It is sure. So God, we have the support. We have the supply here, right here now, right now. Right now we have it, here and now. And here and now is answering to there and then. So there and then is answering to here and now. So God, we're here looking and honoring, seeking to enjoy being saved by you. And you are here with us, seated at your right hand in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God, you're here and we're here. And we're there. And you're going to take us from here to there. And how are we going to get there? The same God, you've got us here. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to move you from this body to my presence. And you'll never leave it. Here and now, there and then, and then, all going to come together. I'm never going to disappear. I will never, doesn't say that? I will never leave thee, what? nor forsake thee. You can never escape. You are bought with a price. And now that begins to give my life a little different flavor. A little different. It isn't my marriage. It isn't my job. It isn't my children. It isn't my health. It isn't about anything. It's about you. The excellency of the knowledge. And therefore, like Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, we're going to run the race that is set before us. And that's what we're trying to remind ourselves of. Because that's the only way you're going to handle the awesome changes that are going to be taking place. I just said it the other day on the phone to someone, I'll just say, I said we're in the harbinger, the shadow, like a shadow. And as we're moving down the corridor, the clock and time, we're moving down it, no way out of it. We're going down that corridor, and we're into the shadow now. We're into the shadow. And just ahead of us is the reality of the tribulation, the Antichrist, and everything else. And all of that is shadowing, and we're walking in it, we're in it. The world is going to, don't be troubled, don't be disturbed, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You are wonderfully personal and precious to me. So if you want to convey something to your children or to anybody, I would convey the wonderful reality, and you can't convey it. You can only enjoy it. Hear me now. You can't say I'm special. You are special. And as you enjoy being special, it'll show up. Do you understand? And you don't have to work at it. And that's what the world needs. God, here we are, running the race, and you've been very patient, you know, in our snowy morning. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. God, thank you very much. God, you have to help us. It's all too wonderful, and our little old heart and mind has trouble handling 100 snowflakes, let alone zillions of them, God. So help us, please. Deal with the heart of each and all. Give safety, encouragement in every way. And we'll thank you even so, come. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we could sing, please. 531 in closing. Appreciate your patience.